Amen. And I didn't make that up. You can find that in Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. That says, say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I will pull you from the lineup. He gave me that on September 6, 2006. I wrote it in my Bible and I wrote it on my heart. Let's go to John 3. I'm going to share 16 and 17 out of the Message Bible, so you can follow along in whatever translation you have. Or if you have an electronic device, just punch up the Message Bible. It says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. I encourage you, in this year, if you haven't done it, I encourage you, change your attitude about this world and about what they're doing. Stop talking about them. Stop pointing an accusing finger at them. They can't help it. They're sinners. I mean, if you're going to do that with them, you might as well get upset with a dog for barking. You know, get upset with a cat for scratching. Get upset with birds for tweeting. I mean, that's what they do. They're sinners. And we have to stop pointing an accusing finger and let them see our heart. Because when they see our heart and realize we love them, they'll listen to what we have to say. Amen? You like the song, For the Love of God? It's not by fear. It's not by duty. You do it because you love them. And that's what we want the people to feel. In Luke 6, as I've been sharing with you, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it. We sing that song, I will not be shaken, I will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. You won't be shaken, you won't be moved as long as your foundation is built on the rock. It didn't shake that house because it was well built, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. We don't want anyone to be completely destroyed. The only way that's going to happen is if you dig down deep, get rid of all that gunk, all that nonsense that's between you and your foundation, and get yourself securely planted on the foundation. Amen? Amen. And by the way, I don't know if we shared with you, but that beeping you hear is the alarm system telling us there's a ground fault or something. Servicemen will come and take care of it. I laughed. That's just a demonstration of the devil's power. All he can do is make a little alarm system beep. Okay. But how many of you are familiar with the biblical account of the Tower of Babel? Okay. And see, and we use that. I have nothing against that account. We use it, and we talk about how when we are one, when everybody's united, there's nothing that's impossible. Because God said, the people are one. Now this thing that they do, that they'll be able to do anything that they imagine. And we look at that, and that's a good thing, and we emphasize that. But that's not the whole point of that account. I thought it was. As I started delving into it, I found out that there's much more to what was going on there than meets the eye. See, as I studied it, I realized that the most important lesson is not the one about people being together and operating as one. That's not the most important lesson. So let's go to Genesis 11. One of the things about using an iPad is my fingers sometimes hit things I don't want them to. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, what is Q? Are you there? It says, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Say, dwelt there. You'll see the significance of that in a little bit. And they said to one another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the children of men, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained. Say, nothing will be restrained. From them which they have imagined to do. Go to let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. When you first read that, you're probably wondering, God, what's the big deal? You have your people. They're united. They want to build a city and a tower. They want to get as close to you as they can. They want the tower to reach the heavens. What's wrong with that? Well, God had an issue. He didn't have an issue with them being in one accord. He had an issue with what they were doing. See, this isn't about men operating in one accord. This is about men coming together in rebellion against God. See, these folks were in rebellion against God. And this also lets us know that their actions may have shown agreement, but there was no heart agreement. See, what I mean by heart agreement, you can be coerced into agreeing with something. Or I should say you can be coerced into doing something, and it'll look like you agree. I mean, too many of our young people get arrested because they're going along with the wrong crowd, and they wind up, what they say, in the wrong place at the wrong time. They weren't in agreement with what happened, but they were a participant. Even if it were unwilling, for whatever reason, they were there. They were there. And when I looked at this, see, so you can like the project or you cannot like the project and just get assigned to it. See, when I was in elementary school, we had group projects. And sometimes the teacher would let you select what group you wanted to be in. And so, of course, the first thing you do is look and see what everyone's doing and see if there's one there that you like. Well, I got to put a disclaimer here, okay? This was long before I met Deacon Phyllis, okay? All right. And so there were times I'd take on a project because I'd look at a girl there, I said, she looks kind of good. So even though I didn't like the project, all right, I joined that group so I could hopefully meet this girl. You know, I'm so glad that didn't work out the way I thought it would. But if you saw me working on the project, you would have assumed I was in agreement with it. No, I didn't have a heart agreement. I wanted to participate for some reasons, but I did not have a heart agreement with that. I started wondering, because it says it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found the plain and they dwelt there. And I'm like, who are they? And that, it's funny because that question still comes up today. Because I always hear people saying, they say, who is saying this? You know, as Jerry Seinfeld said, who are these people, you know, that are saying these things? Right? But it says, they said, so I said, I'm going to look back and find out, who are they? You ready to find out? Okay, let's go to Genesis 8. Because we need to know who these people are, where they come from, and where were they going. In Genesis 8, verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now, I found it interesting. It said they breed abundantly in the earth, but multiply upon the earth. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's the difference? Well, according to the concordance, that word upon, it means the whole earth. He was telling them multiply across the whole earth. Well, see, this is back to the same instructions that was given in the garden. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Because this was after the flood. Look at chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He didn't say replenish an area of the earth. He said replenish what? The earth, the whole earth. Chapter 10 gives an account of all of Noah's children. And in verse 8, it says, and Cush begat Nimrod. And Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the earth. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And Erech and Akkad and some other places with funny names. But it says the beginning of his kingdom. So Nimrod is the one that had the idea, we're going to build a city right here. Right here. And we're going to make a name for us. What he really meant was going to make a name for me. Okay. But again, I'm a little ahead. We'll go back. So now we're in the land of Shinar. We're back to Genesis. We got back to Genesis 11. In verse 3, they said to one another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime they had for mortar. And they said, go, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God said, replenish the whole earth. They said, we don't want to be scattered across the earth. They were in rebellion against God. And if you go back and study that time and those people, I like using the Biblical Illustrator commentary because it's not just one comment, it's this whole series of articles by a whole lot of different folk. And I just sit down there and just read and read and like, oh man, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And I found out that when you make during that time period, when you make statements like, let us build a city, let us make bricks, let us make us a name, those statements are made by hungry men looking to make a name for themselves. That's what happened. When people are talking like that, they're not concerned about the people. They want to make a name for themselves. And in that, I'm going to share part of this article called Babel that's in the Illustrator. It says, this we may depend upon, it was no republic of builders, no cooperative association of bricklayers and bricklayers' laborers bent on immortalizing themselves by the work of their own hands. This early effort at centralization with a huge metropolis as its focus sprang, we may be quite sure, from the brain of some ambitious potentate. The scripture lets us know that person was Nimrod, and was baptized from the very first in the blood and sweat of misery of toiling millions. That go to let us make brick, let us build us a city, let us make us a name, is not the language of voluntary association. It's not. But it is a stately style which emperors affect. By this time, we know only too well what it means. The cynical indifference to human suffering, the wastefulness of human life, the utter selfishness, the cruelty, the hardness of heart, masked under gilded forms. Do you remember I said you could be coerced into joining a group? Nimrod probably had a powerful presence. And when he spoke, he influenced a lot of people. And it's like, if Nimrod said this is what we're doing, guess what? We're doing it. So they got together and started building this tower. And I'm sure that there had to be at least one person who thought, this isn't what God told us to do. But there was no way they were going to speak up. We cannot afford to do that. If we're in a situation and we know this thing is shifting away from what God said, we need to say something. And we say, I'm not doing that. Mm-mm. No, I had to tell the president of the company I work for, I'm not doing business with the peep show. No. And he told me I didn't have a right to put my religious beliefs on his company. And I told him, I said, you know something? You're absolutely right. Now I have to decide if I want to work for somebody who would do this. I mean, we're going to be tested, folks. And what one of them? I'm going to compromise who I am because I want a job? I don't think so. See, because that says that God will not supply my every need, so I need to do something else. No, I don't need to do anything else. I need to stay true to who I am. So God's instructions was for them to multiply over the entire earth. They decided to build a city and live in Shinar. And they did that because they didn't want to be scattered over the earth. Secondly, they didn't ask God whether or not he wanted them to build that tower. They didn't inquire of him at all. They just said, look, this is what we're going to do. Now, mind you, they just experienced the entire world being wiped out in a flood. I would think if you had a pea brain, you would ask God, what do you want me to do next? Okay. Because rebellion and disobedience caused God to just wipe out everything and gave these folks a new start at repopulating the planet. So see, they weren't doing this for God. They were doing it for selfish reasons. Nimrod wanted to be known. He wanted fame. And he got the people in agreement to build this city and build this tower. And he had no intentions. They called it Babel afterwards. He didn't say, we're going to build a city and call it Babel. I'm sure the city was going to have his name on it. Okay. But see, here's why it's so important that you have a heart agreement. Because God couldn't allow that to happen. I'm going to read the same account, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, now the whole earth spoke one language and used the same words, same vocabulary. And as people journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They said one to another, come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly in a kiln to harden and strengthen them so they may be used brick for stone as building material. And they used tar, bitumen, asphalt for mortar. They said, come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach the heavens. And let us make a famous name for ourselves so that we will not be scattered into separate groups and be dispersed over the surface of the entire earth as the Lord instructed. Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are of one unified people, and they all have the same language. This is only the beginning of what they will do in rebellion against me. And now, no evil thing they imagine they can do will be impossible for them. See, that means there was nothing to restrain them from doing evil, from rebelling. So God says, come, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, go down there and confuse and mix up their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the surface of the entire earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, the city was Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the entire earth. And from that place, the Lord scattered and dispersed them over the surface of all the earth. Here's the problem that I have with that. If they were in true agreement and they had a heart, a sincere heart to build this tower, they'd have found a way to keep it working. They would have found a way to keep doing it. How many of you have been in a foreign country, didn't know the language? How'd you get out? How'd you get around? You found a way. You find a way to let people know. You'll find a way to communicate with them, because this is something that you know you have to do it. If they had felt that way about that tower, it would be built to this day. But they didn't have a heart agreement. They didn't have it. So any little thing could have thrown them off. See, when we are not where we're supposed to be, doing what God has told us to do, there's always going to be confusion. There's always going to be controversy. There's always going to be a mess, and it's going to stop us because we don't share the same heart agreement. We have to get to the place where we share the same, we're of the same heart based on what God has directed this ministry through the pastors. We all have to grab hold of that and be of the same heart to get that done. Now, in order to do that, see, if Nimrod were a godly leader, he wouldn't have cared about a name for himself. He'd have been too busy building things for God, not for himself. And he rallied a people around what God has said, and they buy into it because they want to honor God. Then nothing gets in the way of that. But when you don't have that, anything will come along and cause confusion. And that's what we had here. So we look at this account as a great story of folks being in agreement, and they really weren't. Because if they were truly in agreement, they would have built the tower no matter what happened. Think about the persecution that the folks went through when they were rebuilding the walls of Jericho with Sanballat and with Tobiah and them. I mean, they were under constant threat of war. They had to have their work tools in one hand and a sword in another hand. I mean, they didn't know when they were going to be attacked. But the Bible says, and I'm going to share some of those scriptures with you in a few minutes, the people had a heart and mind to work. So it didn't matter what they had to put up with. They were going to finish that job because that job was God ordained. And it didn't matter what any, as a matter of fact, they took it to God. They're like, do you hear what they said, God? I mean, it's the same thing with the early church. Come on now. These folks were beaten, bloodied. They were filleted open. Because when they were scourged, and a scourge is usually it's a pole with these leather straps that come out, that they have glass and rocks and things tied onto it, because it wasn't just there to whip you, it was there to rip the skin off of you, because they wanted those scars to be a remembrance of their power. And so after the disciples were whipped and scourged, they went back and they said, God, give us more boldness to preach your word. But not only that, God, we want signs. We want to stretch forth our hands and let signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus. The same name that they said, don't you preach in this name. Because if you preach in it, you're going to get some more of this. It didn't matter to them because they had a heart agreement with God's plan, with God's purpose. There was no heart agreement in Shinar. There was group participation, but that doesn't necessarily mean agreement. Let me share a portion of another article, because it says there clearly that God caused confusion, and we know in the New Testament it says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. But it says, once in his wise compassion, God made confusion in order to prevent it. See, because if he allowed them to build that tower, there would have been gross confusion. Right? He destroyed peace that in the end he might restore it. God who hath made of one blood all nations of men, did by that exercise of his power the best thing that could be done to check and retard the rapid growth of evil and to prepare the means by which man should be brought back to obedience. So you wonder why things are in confusion. They're in confusion because they're out of line with God. And God would allow the confusion so that we wake up and realize God doesn't authorize this. So if we're experiencing confusion, we better go back to God and find out where we missed it. Do you understand that? Okay. While there was but one tongue language, men easily corrupted each other. When there were many languages, evil communications were greatly hindered. They could no longer talk. They could no longer understand. They got frustrated, and they said, later for this. And they left, which is what God wanted them to do in the first place. They said, well, we might as well go back to going over all the world. Okay. So, sinful acts, listen to this. Sinful acts are active in drawing other people to sin. That's the purpose of them. The enemy will have you do dumb things to bring other people in to do the same dumb things. Okay? When there are no difficulties, sin is not hindered. When you're free to do whatever you want, there's nothing to stop it. There's nothing to slow it down, nothing to stop it from advancing. Cities and towers, ornaments and strength are sinners' trophies. So you have to ask yourself, why are you going hard after things? Trophies. Wealth. See, there's some folks, they tithe. They give. If God says give it, they give it. But they're not reaping. Why? Their motives are wrong. We forget that it says not grudgingly or of necessity. We give. They tell me I'm supposed to give, so yeah, I'm giving. Pray the Lord. All right? Or I want a new car. So let me give. I'm giving so God will give me a new car. Or I need something. So I'm one of the things that I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to use it because it's the truth. Annoys me to no end are these folks on television when the scripture clearly says you don't give out of necessity. They'll tell you, you need a word from God? Send me $29.99 and I'll send you a word. You need healing? For $39, I'll send you a bottle of Miracle Spring Water. You go right to their bathroom. I mean, this is water right from the Dead Sea. Well, I have water from the Dead Sea. It didn't cost me $29.99. And you know what? Didn't do anything either. It's set in my cabinet for 5 years, and I threw it away. Because, you know, you go over there, oh, I got to bring back some of the Dead Sea. Oh, I got to bring back. I mean, I had all these rocks from Israel. What am I going to do with them? Okay. Came to my mother. She collected rocks from everywhere. Listen to this one. Dispersion is the evil which sinners fear. See, sinners don't like it when they get thinned out. They believe their strength in numbers. Okay. But this is what I really want us to understand. I'm going to say it the way God said it to me. As a body of believers, we need to have a heart agreement concerning what God has spoken. Even though we may be threatened, mocked, our hearts have to be knitted together. In Nehemiah 4, I alluded to this a few moments ago, the end of verse 6, the Voice translation says, we return to building, focused and determined to work as one people. The International Standard Version says the people were committed to working. See, the folks at Babel, they weren't committed to working. The Amplified, the classic Amplified, so why do they have to do this? We had a perfectly good Amplified Bible, and then I came out with another edition of the Amplified Bible, and so the original one is now called the Classic Edition. Okay. It said the people had a heart and mind to work. See, if you're just following the crowd, when something happens, that you don't, you're going to leave. When chaos hits, you out of there. Period. But if you have a heart agreement, even if you don't speak the same language, you will find a way to work together. You'll find a way. You'll want to find a way. See, God stopped the people in Shinar from building the tower because he had to stop their wickedness. See, because if they got that done, they'd have gone on to something else. He wanted to get them back to obedience. So what he did is he caused confusion. He confounded their language so that they couldn't understand each other. But then, if you move fast forward into the New Testament in Acts, we have Pentecost, where he gave us a new language. And what's so great about that is, if I know we're supposed to work together, that God wants to do something, I'm not quite sure how, you're not quite sure how, we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, and he'll tell both of us exactly what we're supposed to do. And we'll just flow into it. There were these missionaries that were over in an unfriendly area, unfriendly to Christians, and there was a spy in their midst. And they would have meetings, and they would get raided, and people would get, you know, injured or killed. And so they needed to come up with a way to keep their meetings secret. But they didn't know who the spy was. So they decided, they said, we are meeting, I'm just using a day, we're meeting Thursday at 7:30. Say, where? You pray, the Holy Ghost will tell you where to show up. On Thursday, everybody showed up at the same place. No one said, we're meeting at this place. They prayed. The Holy Ghost told them where to go. That won't just happen for them, folks. That'll happen to us also. But we have to have that heart agreement. The people that attempted to build a tower did not. So any contra-, I mean, God didn't really have to start it. All God had to do is tell someone he thinks you're better than you. That would have done it right there. Someone said, wait a minute. I have a degree in building. And you tell me I have to go out and collect bricks? I should be designing this thing. You know, there's always stuff that will come up when there's no heart agreement. If there's a heart agreement to get the work done, you don't care what your assignment is. I never went to the pastors and said, these are my gifts. You know what I did? I said yes to whatever they asked me to do. That's all I did. Nothing was beneath me. I submitted to folks that in the natural, I wouldn't have given them a subway token. But I am committed to God. I'm committed to the ministry. I'm committed to my pastors. This is what they ask me to do. This is who they ask me to submit to. Fine. Why? I don't have my own agenda. Whatever God's agenda is my agenda. And I found that when I did that, God's grace was there. God's anointing was there to allow me to do it. And then in due season, the pastor started moving me up, so to speak, in rank. I never asked for it. When God told me to join the youth department, I joined the youth department. Were there some things that were going on that I thought shouldn't have been done? Yep. What did I do? What I was told to do, because I was not the youth director. But when God told me to put something together, I put it together. And I gave it to the youth director. And interestingly enough, the first time it happened, God gave me this outline for a meeting. I didn't know what. And so I wrote out the way God said, and I submitted it to the youth directors. They walked in and they said, "This is amazing." I said, "What?" They said, "We had so much going on this week, we didn't have time to put together an outline for tonight's meeting. So if you don't mind, will you do this?" Well, God knew that. But my job as a staff person was to hear from God and do things that make it easier for the one I am reporting to. Their task, their responsibility, their job should be easier because I'm there. And I didn't think like this. I didn't start thinking like this when I became a Christian. That was the way I thought about things. If I'm working with you, I shouldn't cause you to have to work harder. It should be easier. But that means you have to humble yourself. You know, just because you know something doesn't mean that that's the way God wants to have it done. You've heard me say this, I don't know how many times. There are a whole lot of ways to get to the George Washington Bridge. And all of them are right. So how can you say all of them are right? All of them will get you to the bridge. Okay. So why would you go away? That's going to take you 20 minutes longer. What difference does it make? The purpose is get to the bridge. That's the purpose. So whether you take 80, whether you get on 287 and go to 87, get off 87, go on to however you want to go, go. Just get there. But we'll get into disagreements of which way you should go. No, there has to be a hard, we just need to get to the bridge. I need to get, okay, let's go. And if you run into traffic and that voice that wants to say, "I told you not to go this way," tries to come up, you suppress it. You don't let it come up. Well, what am I supposed to do? Intercede that the traffic breaks up. That's all. Instead of saying, I told you we shouldn't have gone this way. I never go this way. I never, see, I the Holy Ghost told me that we weren't supposed to go this way. Now don't you tell a person you're a knucklehead, you've told them that they don't hear from God. You don't know why they're stuck in traffic. We don't know. But Nimrod's group, there was no godly purpose to hold them together. There was no godly purpose for them to rally around. So the minute something happened, they went to pieces. Well, that kind of parallels James 4:7 when God says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee." See, when God confounded their language, they could no longer be in agreement. They could no longer talk agreement. They could no longer give the devil place. So not only did he flee, but they did also. They had to go on about where they were supposed to go. And then, you know, of course, and Jesus came and did what he did, and we went to Pentecost, and now we have a heavenly language. But we have to be committed to working together on God's plan and according to God's instructions. Isn't it ironic that the only reason Nimrod and all of them were saved was because Noah was obedient to do things exactly the way God said? Even though, can you imagine? God has you build something that you've never heard of. Never heard of. He said, "Build an ark." Okay. Was an ark. He didn't even ask, "What's an ark?" He said, "There's going to be a flood." Okay. He'd never seen a flood. He'd never seen rain. The Bible says a mist came up from the ground and watered it. The guy said, "It's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. Everybody's going to die." Uh-huh. A comedian said, "Am I on candid camera?" You know. But when you have a heart agreement with God. It doesn't matter what he asks you to do. Because the main thing you already understand is God. And that's all we have to understand. Okay. Unlike Nimrod, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. Unlike Nimrod, we have a godly purpose and a godly direction, and we have the anointing of God and the grace of God to do the work that he's called this ministry to do. And why'd say, well, why'd you say this ministry and not us? Because he called the work for the ministry. All of us are here to do the work of the ministry. We can't lose sight of that. It's not about our own individual talent. It's about completing the work of the ministry. And you'll find, well, not only will you find, I can guarantee you, because the scripture says your gift will make room for itself. If you will just obediently follow God's plan for this ministry, all of your individual gifts will sprout. Don't think about them. I didn't think about what I knew I could do well. I didn't think about what my strengths were. All I thought about, the pastors asked me to do this. So I'm going to do this with everything that I have in me. There's no task too great or too small, whatever it was. Even, hear me clearly, even when I was hung out to dry, when I was innocent, I talked to Pastor Clinton about it because I didn't like it. He said, we knew you could handle it. That's what he said. We knew you could handle it. Okay, if I have to take the hit for the ministry, okay, I take the hit. I ain't like it. I'm telling you, I did not like it. Okay. But it was for it, but it was best. That's what the pastor's position was. It was best for the ministry. And I'm, like I say, I'm still alive. I'm still here. So, yes, the story of the Tower of Babel is a great story. You know, when you look at it on the surface about, oh, look, these people, they come together and, yeah, look at what they can do. There was no heart agreement. And when you really dissect it and think about it, if there was agreement, there would be a tower standing today. We have a tower that God wants built. The Tower is called Redeeming Love Christian Center. He's building in Nanuet, he's building in the Poconos, and we don't know where else he's going to build. And he's called all of you together. He's called. And you'll receive instructions. Work where he places you until he moves you. That's the key, folks. When we were ordained deacons, I said to my wife, I told her, I said, I haven't found anywhere in the Bible where God called someone and after a period of time they decided their season was over. Or they decided they need to sit down for a little bit. I haven't found that in the scriptures. They did what God told them to do until he moved them somewhere else or they died. Go ahead, tell them what you said.
And my response was, you mean we're going to die here?
I'm like, if that's what God's... that's it, not going anywhere. Not going to change. Going to keep doing what he says. And if I get it wrong, I'm going to repent and keep stepping. I'm not going to wallow in a mistake. And don't you wallow in a mistake. All that means is you need to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. That's all it means. Get clear direction. Language got confused there. That's all. But when you, if we're all praying in the Holy Ghost, everybody will know exactly where their fit is. And you'll blossom. You'll blossom right there.